Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue a teaching series called Uncommon Courage. In these lessons, Rick is going to share biblical inspiration that will help you get the courage you need to follow God's calling for your life. If you'd love to help the kids you know learn God's Word, then stay with us. Because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about God's Big Plans for Me, an easy-to-understand storybook Bible by Pastor Rick Warren. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called Standing Courageously for the Truth.
Now in Hebrews chapter 25, it's up here on the screen. The Bible says Moses chose to suffer with God's people rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Circle the phrase pleasures of sin and circle short time. The thing I love about the Bible is it always tells the truth. It's honest. And the Bible says sin is fun. Notice it says pleasure of sin. Sin is pleasurable. If sin wasn't fun, nobody'd do it. Okay, even the Bible admits it. Sin is fun. Is it fun to eat things that are bad for you? Yes. Absolutely, okay? Is it fun to stay up really late, even though you gotta get up early the next morning, you're gonna be dead? Yes. There's a lot of things in life that aren't good for you, and they're a whole lot of fun. Or they're a whole lot pleasurable. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin, but it says, notice, it doesn't last. It's for a short time. And with every kick, there's a kickback. There's always a payoff. And the cost of sin is far greater than the pleasure of sin. Sin is fun, there's no doubt about it. But the cost of it could be your own soul. And the cost of it could be a broken body, a broken mind, a broken heart, a broken relationship. There's always a cost to sin. Galatians 6:8 on the screen says this, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful desires, that's hedonism, will harvest the consequences of decay and death. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. In Exodus 23, verse 2, there on your outline, do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. But girls just want to have fun. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with having fun. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. It may be fun, but it might not be right. Now, there's a third anti-Christian worldview, and it is individualism. Materialism, hedonism, individualism. And individualism says, what I want comes first. Materialism says money is God. Hedonism says happiness is God. Individualism says, I'm God. And it really doesn't matter what happens to you. This is a dog-eat-dog world. I got to look out for number one. I'm number one. And it is a me-first mentality. What I want comes first. It is a self-centered lifestyle. America was built on rugged individualism. I do what I want to do when I want to do it, and nobody can tell me not to do it. And today that has evolved into the culture of narcissism. Maybe you haven't realized this, but every advertisement ever created appeals to your self-centeredness. We do it all for you. Have it your way. You deserve a break today. It's all about you. You're great. It's think of yourself. It's all about you. In fact, they're even naming products. Now, we now have the iPhone. And then I work on my iPad. And I post a video of me on YouTube. And who's the you? Me. It's a place to show off. And we actually are creating tools that cultivate our narcissism, that it's all about you. I saw a Mountain Dew ad the other day, and it said, obey your thirst. Hedonism. Most people don't realize that. That's flat out hedonism. Do whatever you have the urge to do. Doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. You must obey your thirst. If it feels good, do it. If it makes you richer, do it. If it's all about you, you do it. But here's the issue. God didn't create you to live for you. Oh, really? You think the creator of the universe thought you up so you could live a little self-centered, selfish, egotistic clod of a life that it's all about me? I don't think so. You were made for something far, far bigger than yourself. If you just live for yourself, why even get out of bed in the morning? Just mail it in. Really? Okay? I mean, just stay in bed under the covers and pull up the sheets because it's all about you. That's why when I wrote Purpose Driven Life and the opening sentence was, it's not about you. That is the most counterculture statement you can make today. Because everything in our culture says, are you kidding me? It's all about you. Everything is about you. Because the worldview of individualism, what I want comes first. And so if I'm married to you and you're hindering my career, bye-bye, sister. I got to do what I got to do. And if I've got an elderly parent to take care of and my elderly parent is cramping my style, bye-bye, parent. And I have no responsibility because it's all about me. And if I want to go through a series of one-night stands, too bad. It doesn't matter if it breaks your heart. It's all about me. That is individualism at its height. Now, the Bible says this, Christian worldview, Proverbs 18:1, it is selfish and it's stupid to think only of yourself. In fact, God sent Jesus Christ not just to save us from our sins, but also to model how to live. And in Philippians 2, it says this, each of you should look not only to your own interest, that's counterculture, but also to the interests of others. Most people aren't doing that. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you got to put aside your selfish ambition. You got to deny yourself. What? Yeah, you got to deny yourself. What? In our society, that's two words you never hear, deny yourself. Actualize yourself, serve yourself, love yourself, take care of yourself, live for yourself. Nobody in our culture is saying what Jesus said, deny yourself. And yet Jesus taught us that God designed us for love. And love is not thinking of yourself. Love is giving yourself away. And Jesus said, it is only in giving yourself away you'll ever know what it means to really, really live. Paul said, clothe yourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ and forget about satisfying your own selfish desires. In fact, over and over in the Bible, God warns about me living a self-centered life. The Bible says this in Romans 2:8, for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth. In other words, I know what the Bible says. The Bible says do this, but I don't like that part. It crimps my style. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to be self-seeking and I'm going to reject the truth. I know God says to do this and I know God says don't do that, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. For those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. Why? Why does it tick off God when I'm self-centered? Why does it make God mad when I live for myself? Well, because number one, he didn't make you for that reason. But the real reason is the reason God opposes self-centered living is because God is love. And the Bible says love is not selfish. God wants you to be a great lover, not a great self-centered person. And the Bible says love is not selfish. When I'm sitting on the couch, relaxing, reading the paper and watching TV, and I see that Kay needs help, and I decide to keep quiet instead of helping her, that's called being selfish. At that moment, I am being unloving because love is never selfish. When somebody asks for your help, you say, sorry, I don't have time to do it. Love is never selfish.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
The Bible says, children are a gift from the Lord. Do you have kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, or kids in your neighborhood that need to know God loves them and has a good plan for their lives? You can help them get closer to God by encouraging them to read His Word. That's why we're so excited to tell you about a very special resource just for kids called God's Big Plans for Me. It's a storybook Bible by Pastor Rick Warren. This 223-page hardcover children's book includes 40 well-loved Bible stories to help kids engage with God's Word. Each Bible story has an introduction from Pastor Rick that helps young readers understand the Word of God and has a closing thought with a practical step boys and girls can take to discover God's big plans for them. Their eyes will light up as they turn the beautifully illustrated pages and really start to get what God wants to say to their young hearts and minds. God's Big Plans for Me is so much more than just a book filled with cute pictures of Bible characters. It's a fun and effective way to introduce children to God's everlasting truth. This book makes a great gift. You'll want to get a copy for every child in your life. And today, when you give a gift to help Pastor Rick's Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus Christ around the world, we'll send you a copy of God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible to say thanks. To get your copy of this great resource, just call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com to get yours. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
Now, these worldviews, materialism, money is God, hedonism, happiness and pleasure is God, individualism, I'm God, I run my own life, I'm the master and commander of my faith, I don't need God, I'm in charge of my life. There's a fourth one. This one is the exact opposite of individualism. It's collectivism. It's called socialism. Socialism is an anti-Christian worldview that says government is God. It basically says government should control everything. That's socialism. The government should be in charge of everything. Now, there's nothing wrong with government. Government is a good thing. In fact, it was invented by God. God created three institutions. He created the institution of family, He created the institution of the church, and He created the institution of government. God is not an anarchist. Everything should be done decently and in order. There's nothing wrong with government. But here's what I've learned. People who don't know God make government God. Why? Because they don't have any higher authority to look to meet their needs, so they want the government to meet all their needs. They're not praying to God, so the highest thing they can think of to make the world a better place is not the church, it's not God, it's government. It's the thing that's supposed to make everything better. So they treat government like God. You say, well, how do you know that? Because I have spoken at most of the major secular elite conferences on this planet. I have spoken three times at the World Economic Forum in Davos. I've spoken to the Aspen Ideas Institute. I've spoken at the TED Conference. I've spoken at the Entertainment Gathering. I've spoken to groups of elites in Manhattan and London and Europe. And what I've discovered when I'm around, sometimes I'm in a group that I'm the only person of faith in the group. And what I've discovered is this. Politics is the religion of people who don't know God. And for them, they treat it as everything. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with politics. It's just not the Savior. And if you think any politician's going to be your Savior, you're going to be deeply disappointed. You're going to be deeply, no matter who it is. By the way, what is the purpose of government? The Bible says there are three purposes of government. Protect freedom, ensure justice, preserve peace. Protect freedom, ensure justice, preserve peace. Now, if I don't have a God or anything bigger than government, then I want government to do everything else too. Now, Jesus explained the limited role of government. And he said, the role of government's a good role, but its role is not to be God. Matthew 22, 21, Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but give to God what is God's. Now, what do I give Caesar? What do I give my government? I owe it my respect. I owe it my taxes. I need to keep the law. I can't just run through red lights because I don't like that red light. I got to keep the laws. The government's role is to protect and preserve freedom and order. And so I'm to be a good citizen. I'm to be a responsible citizen. And in America, the privilege of voting is, of course, the right to vote is the responsibility to vote. But it says you give to Caesar what's Caesar's, but you give to God what's God's. What's God's? What do you owe God? Your life. You don't owe government your life, but you do owe God your life because he gave it to you. And so he says there's a limit. Government has a limit, but God owns it all. By the way, the Bible says give to Caesar what's Caesar's. Who's Caesar in a democracy? Because we don't have a king. We don't have a Caesar. We don't have a dictator. Who's Caesar in a democracy? The answer is you are. You are. The voters are Caesar. Because we, the people, in any democracy, determine the laws. The power in America does not reside with the judicial branch or the legislative branch or the executive branch. It resolves with the people who put those people into office. So you're the Caesar. Just threw that little one in for free. Now, I said that a lot of Christians may be on their way to heaven, but they don't have a Christian worldview. Why? Because they don't realize that if you're a Christian, you have dual citizenship. You have dual citizenship. Look at this verse on the screen, Philippians 3:20. But our citizenship is where? In heaven. It says that twice in the Bible. So you have dual citizenship. I am a citizen of the United States, and I'm also a citizen of heaven. By the way, my greater loyalty is to God, not to government. And if there is a difference between God and government, there's no question which one I'm going to side with. Now, I'm a patriot. I would die for my country. I love America. But my greater allegiance is to God. And I have dual citizenship. Every Christian should be issued a green card. To remind you that you have a divided loyalty. I often get a little worried about when I hear people talk about this God and country talk as if they're like equal. God and country, like they're equal loyalties. They are not. It's not God and country equal. It's God's way up here. My country's down here. It's important, but it's nowhere near my commitment, my relationship, and my loyalty to God. If you ever see a bumper sticker that says, my country, right or wrong, that is an unchristian bumper sticker. I hope you wouldn't say that if you lived in Nazi Germany. The Christian attitude toward government is, my country, I'm going to make it the best I can. Because as a Christian, I'm responsible to make the best of everything around me. But it's not my country, right or wrong. That is making a country an idol. It's putting God in first place. Now, there are many, many examples in the Bible of Christians running up against this worldview. And many examples of where Christians had to choose God over government. The Jerusalem City Council tried to prevent the apostles from preaching and teaching the truth, and even speaking or even using the name Jesus. In the city of Jerusalem. In fact, they said, you are forbidden to use the name Jesus in Jerusalem. And in Acts chapter 5, the city council said, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. Another time in the chapter before, they said, again, they threatened him and said, you can't use this name Jesus. And they said, we have to speak of Jesus. Most of you know that I did President Obama's inauguration prayer. What most people don't know is 4 years earlier, I did the inaugural prayer at the start of Bush's inauguration. It just wasn't controversial, so nobody even noticed. besides Billy Graham, I'm the only guy who's prayed for both a Republican and a Democrat president. But both times I was told, don't use the word Jesus. Don't say in Jesus' name. So what do you think I did? I mean, really.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. Now, if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, the Bible says children are a gift from the Lord. Do you have kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, or kids in your neighborhood that need to know God loves them and has a good plan for their lives? You can help them get closer to God by encouraging them to read God's Word. That's why we're so excited to tell you about a very special resource just for kids called God's Big Plans for Me. It's a storybook Bible by Pastor Rick Warren. This 223-page hardcover children's book includes 40 well-loved Bible stories to help kids engage with God's Word. Each Bible story has an introduction from Pastor Rick that helps young readers understand the Word of God and a closing thought with a practical step boys and girls can take to discover God's big plans for them. Their eyes will light up as they turn the beautifully illustrated pages and really start to get what God wants to say to their young hearts and minds. God's Big Plans for Me is so much more than just a book filled with cute pictures of Bible characters. It's a fun and effective way to introduce children to God's everlasting truth. This book makes a great gift. You'll want to get a copy for every child in your life. And today, when you give a gift to help Pastor Rick's Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus Christ around the world, we'll send you a copy of God's Big Plans for Me Storybook Bible to say thanks. To get your copy of this great resource, just call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com to get yours. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
I want to say thanks to all of you who are supporting Daily Hope Ministry with your financial gifts and with your prayers. I know you appreciate these notes that I get from people around the world as much as I do. Let me just share one with you from a woman named Anna, who is an elementary school principal, and she just wrote this. Dear Pastor Rick, I became a principal in an elementary school at the age of 25. I'm now 42. Now, we've had Rick Warren Bible series and studies at our church during the summers, and I always enjoyed them so much, and I've invited many friends and relatives to visit our church. A couple years ago, I began to share your devotion, Daily Hope, with all of my staff members each morning. See, she's a principal. She's sharing this with her staff. She said, I've seen their growth in God. I've seen the transformation in their lives and characters over these past years, and I'm amazed at the Lord's love and mercy. Now, it doesn't mean that we haven't struggled with issues such as death and depression and disappointments and illness, things like that. However, we have had our eyes on God during all of the things that have come against us. And this has made a difference. I pray with them during our staff meetings to give thanks. So, Pastor Rick, I just want to thank you for following God's calling, even though you go through struggles and life problems, just like we all do. God is with you. May the Lord continue to bless you and your beautiful family. May He continue to bless you with wisdom and discernment so that you're able to share your gift with all of us. Blessings, Anna. Well, Anna, God bless you. Thanks for writing. I love getting these letters, and you actually encouraged me. And I love the fact that as a principal, you're sharing the broadcast and you're sharing the devotionals with your staff. This makes you a partner in this ministry. And I thank you for doing that. And I want to encourage everybody else who's listening, find somebody that you could share the good news with. Tell them about Daily Hope. God bless you.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed your life, please write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.